Every one of us, every single one of us, you and me, have powerful memories of events in our lives that changed us. We can't forget them. For me, I can remember events associated with my conversion to becoming a Catholic when I was just 18 years old. They're as vivid to me as the day they occurred. I can remember events associated with my best friend. I can remember events associated with my marriage. You guys know that I'm a widower. My wife died. And I can remember the events that led up to our marriage. I can remember the births of our children. Those events change you. I can remember the events that led up to going to the seminary and being formed and being ordained. Those memories are burned into me. And you have your own memories. Memories are so strong, you can't be the same way after the event as you were before. Those memories are so powerful that they're the ones that now shape you today into a different person than you were the day before they happened. That's how powerful these memories are. You can't go back. And if I ever got off course in my friendship with my marriage or my Catholic faith, my memories would bring me back. They're that powerful. They say, how can you forget so easily? Get back on track. And these memories are alive in all of you as well. You have your memories. There are also group memories, kind of like family memories. I know in our family, when we have a reunion, a lot of the stuff comes out that is our common memory that shaped us as a family. Our humor, people say, oh, that sounds very Hamlet. In your own family, I bet you have these kinds of things. It's very important to tell and relive our family memories. Communities also have memories. A nation has memories, the shared memories, and they shape everyone in the nation, like wars or battles or national experiences that occur that you can't go back the way it was before. For example, the Civil War. That was powerful, and it changed our nation forever. World War I, World War II, they changed the very soul of our nation. The Kennedy assassination. You hear it said a lot, I can remember where I was that day if you lived that long ago. 9/11, remember where you were on 9/11? The world changed forever. Our national memory changed, and we can't go back to the way it was on 9/10. You can't do it. It's that powerful. It's critical to tell and relive our national stories. We have a name for this living memory. We call it history. It's not an academic subject. It's our mold. It shapes us. And we must tell our children their history because it's their story too. Our church is a living memory of God's revelation and actions in our collective consciousness of our salvation. We share the history of salvation and our values. And these things are rich, and they get blended into the rest of our histories. And once they're yours, you can never be the same again. It's so important to read to our children Bible stories or lives of the saints in our church. And it's critical that we read our scriptures every time we come together for Mass to worship God and to remember why we do it and what shapes and molds us. And through these shared memories, we continue to deepen and strengthen our faith. The Eucharist, probably the most powerful memory in human history. I can't think of one that's more powerful than the Eucharist. When Jesus said, "Do this in memory of me," and then he was crucified. That's a powerful memory that we share. We just don't do religious education. We share our memory over and over and over again, like a family retelling its own history. We hear Peter in that second letter, written probably 20 or 30 years after the event, confirming he was a witness. He saw it. He was there. He says, "Beloved, we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now we read those words from the book of Matthew. Peter was there. Matthew was not. However, Matthew carefully recounts the story as if he had been there. It's that powerful a story. No doubt Matthew and his disciples and the other disciples had heard Peter talk about this many times, to talk about the Jesus transfiguration. And Peter writes, "For Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory, 'This is my son.'" Peter heard God. "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Peter remembers the words and he shares them with the church. He says, "We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." Peter's telling us about the transfiguration. Peter was there. Matthew was not. This was Peter's personal memory. But the story was not just for Peter. It's too big a story. Peter's experience on the mountain of the Transfiguration was so powerful that it also changed Matthew and the entire church, as if they were there too. And that shared memory is recounted in three Gospels. It's in Matthew, it's in the Gospel of Mark, it's in the Gospel of Luke. And they weren't there, but they tell it as if they were there. And again, in Peter's letter, written years later, Peter confirms the story for us. There's a lot of witness to that event. And this living memory continues to shape the church. Here today, 2,000 years ago, this happened, and here we are sharing it as if we were witnesses also. Jesus was transformed before us. Now, Peter could never be the same after that experience with the glorified Jesus. He was a fisherman. He never read a book in his life. And because of Peter's experience of Jesus and the transfiguration, walking with Jesus, Peter had no other choice. If he was going to be true to himself, he had to share that experience. He had to give his life to sharing this experience, and that's exactly what he did. And so did the other disciples who went with them. The church that Jesus founded cannot exist as if the transfiguration did not happen. We can't do it. It'd be like trying to live our faith without the Mass. You can't do it. Now, each of you have memories of God working in your lives, and these are so powerful that you cannot live your life without witnessing to these truths, without pondering these memories and personal experiences, either in your words or in your actions, your faithfulness. Why are you here today? Mothers and fathers cannot go back and live their lives after the birth of their children as if it never happened. You can't do it. And neither can I. These things change us. And we have to participate in that change. We can't resist those memories. We have to allow them to live in us. So instead, we immediately change our lives. If we're parents, we've experienced the birth of our children, and our lives were changed around the birth and around our married lives, and we can never go back. And now the collective memory of the church lives in us, lives in parents who've seen their children born, and they realize how important it is to get that child baptized and prepare that child to receive the sacraments. That's the impact. And they recognize the need to tell their children when they can understand it about God, about Jesus, about Mary. And those stories change those children and the family forever. They can never go back as if they never happened. And together we all remember the words of God the Father at Jesus' baptism. His baptism. Remember those words when a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And here again at the transfiguration of Jesus, God says again, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." God spoke to us at these moments through Peter, the disciples, the apostles, the evangelists, and the church. And we can never forget. We can never be the same. These are powerful memories. We make choices about which memories will affect our lives and how much. We see people sometimes resist it. Oh no, that's just myth. No, our history is not myth. Each of you have memories of God moments which changed your lives if you permitted it. If you cooperated with the memory. Perhaps you went to a retreat or were moved by some experience of God. Never forget that experience. Call it back again. The one God wants you to remember are going to be very clear as if they happened yesterday. Perhaps one of your sacraments was particularly meaningful, like your first communion or your wedding. Perhaps your prayer has affected you at different times. Never forget that moment. Share the moment and the memory over and over. Ponder it. And then consider what those memories allowed you to do. And those memories helped carry you through some difficult times in your life. Those memories helped you be faithful as parents and as spouses. As after Jesus' baptism, remember, he went out into the desert for 40 days into a test, and the devil came and tempted him. The memories prepare us for tough times. And after his transfiguration, Jesus went to Jerusalem one last time for his passion and his death, to his crucifixion. But the memory foresaw his resurrection as well. And allow these memories to carry you also through your life changes. Whatever you do, do not permit yourself to be tempted to live as if it never happened. I can only imagine Peter, James, and John coming down the mountain almost breathless. What just happened? And Jesus turns to him and says, don't tell anybody until after my resurrection. Now, can you imagine Peter sitting around the table that night and says, Peter, how was your day? What? It was amazing. Well, tell me about it. I can't. But he remembers it, and it shaped him. So allow these moments to blossom in your heart, and you're going to have more moments like this if you do, if you allow these faiths, these moments, these memories to transform you.